If Klay Thompson comes back healthy, Kendrick Perkins, the Warriors might win it all. I really mean it. I'm not playing with anybody. Molly, yeah. It is official. I'm picking the Golden State Warriors to win the championship.
Okay.
Fully loaded and healthy with Klay, Steph on the court together, with Draymond, with Poole, and all of those brothers that Draymond is going to be there to hold accountable, I'm rolling with the Warriors.
I've been with the Warriors since day one, and I ain't jumping off that ship. It's about the Warriors.
The Warriors stave off the L after trailing the entire game until the last 45 seconds. Thanks to Steph Curry getting hot in the fourth. He scored 18 of the Dubs' 39 fourth quarter points, including the go-ahead free throw. 45 seconds left to take their first lead of the game. The Dubs won, but almost lost, Stephen A., to the jawless Grizzlies. So tell me this, sir. Are you concerned about your Warriors' championship pick?
Huh?
Are you concerned?
I'm concerned. I'm concerned. But I ain't jumping off the bandwagon. I'm still rolling with the Warriors. All I'm going to say to you is this. Last night, I'm not going to front Swaggoo, JJ. Last night made me nervous. Last night made me very, very nervous. Because I have an imagination. You know, I mean, that's something that you're allowed to have when you work for Disney. I mean, Walt Disney is Mickey Mouse, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're allowed to have your imagination, right? And so I'm watching the game before. And I'm watching these piranhas in Boston, how they play defense. And then I'm looking at Memphis and the problems that they cause in Golden State.
He's scared.
The game before, they hit shots all over the place, and I understand that. But last night, the way that the Warriors were struggling, it very much alarmed me. It very much alarmed me. I was like this ain't going to get it done. They can't play like this and win the chip. They can. Now, you would say they ain't going to win the West. So I understand, JJ, you feel a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, they win in the West. That's what I believe. I ain't jumping off that ship, okay? The one team that really, really has me concerned right now is them damn Boston Celtics. Because I believe Boston Celtics and that matchup against Golden State, that's a tough damn matchup for Golden State. I'm here to tell you. Because you got guards and you got athletes and you got dudes that are relatively big. I mean, you got Marcus Smart, who's a pit bull, but you got height on Jaylen Brown. You got height on Jason Tatum, stuff like that. And you got cats that can move their feet, get out, defend on the perimeter, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Golden State still got their marksmen, their snipers, and I get all of that, which is something that you can relate to, JJ. I'm just saying that it gave me pause just for a moment. I was a little bit nervous, so I figure that, you know what, I could be honest with my boys. You know, I could be honest with my boys and just say, I'm a little nervous. I'm better now. But last night, I was a little bit nervous.
It's
sort of like Swaggoo when he FaceTiming me, JJ, talking junk. And then he turned around the next morning, and then he like, you know what, I'm okay now. You know, that was my moment. But I'm back now. I'm okay.
Stephen A., I gotta say, I'm actually shocked to hear you start to backpedal on this.
I'm not backpedaling.
No.
Yeah.
You're creating these little seeds of doubt here.
He's covering his tail.
And what's wild to me about this. This is what's wild to me about this. You've been saying this since October, early November. We didn't know if Klay Thompson was going to be able to play at a high level. We witnessed Steph have a six-week shooting slump that we've never seen him have before.
I wouldn't worry about
Draymond
that.
Draymond has a back injury. We don't know if he's coming back.
Right.
And not once did you back off the fact that you were picking the Warriors to win it all. They have one okay game in which they win against a tough Memphis team, and you want to start backpedaling. Wow. This is a classic example of Stephen A. Smith being a prisoner of the moment.
JJ,
thank you, JJ Reddy.
JJ's been watching
me. JJ's
been watching me. I mean, I got to be. Okay.
And JJ, I've been around him long enough. Let me tell you what else he's doing. He just preparing for the excuse if it happened. That's all he's doing. He preparing for the excuse.
What?
And then when you back him into a corner, he come out screaming and he want to fight and bring up all your flaws. Get ready for it. Because the things that you messed up, if he don't get this right, he's going to bring all of those up and give you like a minute and a half to defend yourself. But here's the thing, and this is why my big bro is the best in the business, because he is already 5 weeks ahead of his next excuse. He ahead of it, JJ. Yeah. Get used to it. See, you've been around and you done got him. You done got him and you starting to understand. But get used to it. This ain't about next week, JJ. It ain't about the next game. It's about a month from now when he gonna run this back. They probably gonna have a damn flashback on the show today based on something that he said. But they gonna run this back and he gonna come on television if the Warriors don't win and say, I told y'all I was concerned. I told y'all all of this.
That's a fact.
Going on. It's coming. It is coming.
No, Golden that's not State, true.
You better
that's
win this. True. Please help this that's man. The,
well, yeah. well first, yes, of all, first of all, JJ ain't in no position to talk. He just switched his pick yesterday, okay, from Miami to Philadelphia.
Oh,
so he's in no position. He's in no position whatsoever. You told him I would bring it back. Well, I got evidence from yesterday. He's in no position to come in. He just messed up yesterday. So he's out of the mix right now. I get where you're coming from, but it ain't like I'm picking the Warriors to lose, because I'm not picking them to lose. I'm not going to jump off that ship. I'm on TV every day on numerous occasions. I'm going with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm trying to do is be honest with the American public, because it's important that the American people understand. It's important that the American people understand.
Stick
that,
your chest out when you say
have,
it.
You have an honest lad. You have an honest lad here. You have somebody that is willing to stand before the American people and say, excuse me, this is
diversion.
What was on my mind at that particular moment in time.
Yeah,
what's not wrong with honesty, JJ?
In all seriousness, Stephen A., you're also not wrong on this take, by the way. You should be concerned about a potential matchup with the Boston Celtics because their defense is so good. They can do it against size, but they inherently switch a lot of actions. And what historically has given the Warriors trouble is teams that already do that. The best team they ever played against in that run was actually in the Western Conference, and that was the Houston Rockets, because they built their defense around switching just to beat the Warriors in the playoffs. Now, ultimately, The Warriors were too good for that team. Of course,
Chris Paul got hurt. But they would have won anyway.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So the Celtics, to me, as even more so than the Bucks or potentially the Sixers or the Heat, the Celtics, to me, are the one team that is a tough matchup for the Warriors.
Okay, fair enough. You know what's another diversion tactic by Stephen A.? It's discussing the Dallas Cowboys, and that's where I'm told we should go now.
Oh, God.
Oh, how about this tweet from one of Stephen A.'s favorite spots? Dallas Mayor Eric Johnson tweeting this. The answer is Dallas. Why? We're about to pass Chicago Metro and become number 3 Metro in the U.S., which would make us the largest U.S. Metro without 2 teams. Football is king here. Dallas needs an expansion team, and we would be able to sustain 2 NFL teams better than LA or New York. Stephen A., do the Dallas fans deserve a second team?
Couple of things. Is that mayor an African-American? I couldn't see. Is that mayor an African-American? Because I'm an advocate of African-Americans being in such positions, a mayoral position, a gubernatorial position, obviously the presidency. I mean, I appreciate these things. Mm-hmm. But the reason I'm asking that question, Swagoo, is I want that man removed from office right now. And I want to make sure the world understands that Mayor Eric Johnson should be removed from office immediately. And if I'm Jerry Jones, I want him out. I want him gone. What? Blasphemy. Blasphemy. And this is coming from me, of all people. Of all people. Listen, how do you justify saying something so nonsensical? The Dallas Cowboys, and I can't believe I got to find myself in a position where I'm saying this stuff. This is the number one brand. This is the number one brand. In all of sports, I would say number 2 to the Yankees, but baseball ain't as popular.
What's the other thing they call them?
America's team.
What's
I know
the
that.
Other thing they call?
We know they don't deserve that. America is not about mediocrity. America is about greatness, not about mediocrity. But that's a different subject for another day. But in all seriousness, the brand that is the Yankees would be worth more if baseball was as popular as the NFL. Clearly, it is not. So considering the popularity of the NFL, combined with the fact that this is the number one brand, and you're talking about the stars on the helmets, the cheerleaders, the billion-dollar playpen, and Jerry Jones is the owner, for the local mayor in the city of Dallas to advocate for another football team. I mean, this man, they should have a petition to get him removed from office immediately. He shouldn't get another vote. This is the only term in his office. He won't recover from this, Marcus. Swaggoo, he won't recover from this. You can't say something like that. Even I know that. You can't do that. I'm a native New Yorker. As much as I love no state income taxes, because I've thought about Texas. I'm an Austin, Texas fan, by the way. Austin, Texas is my favorite city.
Perfect. Great place.
But I love Dallas too, in terms of the city, a metropolis. But I'm just the fans I can't stand. But my God, I'm just sitting there like, how does the mayor of Dallas, I wouldn't even advocate for a spring football team to be in Dallas, let alone another NFL team. That man should be ashamed. And I'm making a prediction right here, Swaggoo. This is stronger than my Warriors prediction. This is his last term in office. He won't recover from this.
Oh,
this
man.
Is his last term in office. Go ahead, Swaggoo. It's
Stephen
ridiculous.
A. First of all, I love when we can agree on something, because you are absolutely – I'm surprised that they didn't ask for his letter of resignation this morning.
Right.
Based on what he just tweeted out. The second thing is, you know, so I'm old school, Stephen A. You know I got an old soul to wisdom. I used to sit with my granddaddy on the sofa and watch Westerns. That's what he used to call them. We watched Westerns. And the Westerns sum up this the best way. I heard it in all of the Westerns that I watches. This town ain't big enough for the two of us, son. That's all it's boiled down to.
Amen.
And I get it. Like Eric Johnson, it's on First Take. People talking about it. But you know damn well, everybody in the world know. Everybody, especially in Dallas, Texas, know that Jerry Jones is going to make a decision about anything involving football.
Hold you on, can time tweet, out, Marcus.
Put a legislature together, anything. It ain't happening.
Hold on.
There was a second part of this tweet that I want to bring up to you guys. We need an AFC team that plays in southern Dallas. We would never want for a fan base or attendance or support from the city of Dallas who wouldn't want to see a Dallas versus Dallas Super Bowl in the city of Dallas.
That is ignorant. That man will not will not get another term in office.
This is it
right now. I'm telling you right now. Jerry Jones is already, you know this, Swaggoo. Jerry Jones, Molly, is already behind the scenes. This is Jerry Jones right now.
Oh.
Good afternoon, everybody.
I mean, good afternoon.
I can't believe the ridiculousness that this man just sat up there and tried to propose. I want this man gone. Now, how long is it going to take to get rid of him? That's what I need right now. And guess what? They're going to go like this. Yes, sir, Mr. Jones. Yes, sir. We'll get right on it. That brother is done.
That economy.
It's an ignorant thing to do. It's an ignorant suggestion.
Stephen A., S.A., to your point. All right, to your point, man. I'm glad we got the mayor tweeting, so we got some politics. Does Eric Johnson know how much money the Dallas Cowboys generate for the city of Dallas?
Unbelievable.
Does he have any idea?
Clearly not.
The ramifications of saying bring another team to Dallas. And listen, I know we joking, but there was when we built the new stadium, I was with the Cowboys. Yes. Yeah. And it was a big issue with the stadium being in Arlington as opposed to downtown Dallas, close to the Mavs and all of that, right? The fact that he's hinting back at that, based on what has transpired, it gets probably a little bit more serious than he imagined it should be.
Listen, let me tell you how Mayor Eric Johnson, that's his name, Eric Johnson, let me tell you how he's going to look. in the weeks and the months to come. Play my video, y'all. Play my video. Show them what I'm talking about. This is NBA Eric Johnson. This is how he gonna look right now.
Y'all gonna stop doing this to me. Y'all gonna stop doing this to me.
I'll tell you right now. That's how he gonna be looking. I'll tell you. That's how Eric Johnson gonna be looking. Man, Eric Johnson. Listen, from now on, listen. We're gonna call him. We're gonna be respectful, and we're gonna call him Mr. Mayor Eric Johnson. Let me say this to the mayor of Dallas, Mr. Mayor Eric Johnson. We gonna be calling you Eric Johnson, Mr. Eric Johnson, in a short while. You ain't gonna be mayor much longer. That might be one of the dumbest things that a political candidate, that a politician has ever done. I mean, in Dallas, Texas,
there's a lot of
you're proposing another team for. Do you know where people?
A lot of football.
Molly, do you know where people travel from to come and see the Cowboys?
Molly. You don't have to play devil's advocate, Molly. You know it's a bad idea, Molly. You don't
It's horrible.
We can all agree on this show.
He said that Texas could support it more so than L.A. or New York, and I kind of agree on that.
You don't mess with the Cowboy brand in Dallas, Texas.
You're going to put two football teams in Dallas, Texas.
All right.
No.
Not ruled. Marcus Spears.
And by the way, Molly.
Great to see you.
Swaggo and Molly, understand that if you had another team.
Yeah.
That means you probably need a stadium. You definitely need a stadium to play. You might go to Jerry to try to use the stadium. It would mean more money for Jerry, and he still wouldn't do it. He still wouldn't do it. Do it. I mean, this is just dumb. Just dumb. Eric Johnson, enjoy that mayor title for now. This brother going to look. He will not be. He will not serve another term as mayor in Dallas. You heard that prediction, Swaggoo? He will not serve another term in Dallas.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Monty Williams won NBA Coach of the Year in a landslide, receiving 81 of the 100 first-place votes. Stephen A., should the Suns coach have taken home the award?
With ease. And that's no disrespect to Taylor Jenkins of the Memphis Grizzlies, who I think done a fantastic job. But Monty Williams, from start to finish, has had these boys as the best team in basketball. 64-18 record. Models of consistency, professionalism, coming in, stepping up, handling their business. And he's a leader in every sense of the word. He inspires on every level. He definitely deserves this award. I have a vote. He got my vote easily.
And it's high character.
You could make an argument, too, that he probably should have back-to-back Coach of the Year. What he did last year was an amazing coaching job. So a couple things to note here. You know, they had these multiple 15-plus game winning streaks. They missed Ayton for long stretches. They missed, obviously, CP with the broken hand for stretches. Devin Booker had a hamstring issue.
Yep.
He had a COVID issue. They just found ways to continue to win. Just a complete basketball team. Mm-hmm. And I was around Monty Williams for a year, my last season in Philadelphia. He was our associate head coach. And I can say he was one of the most attention-detailed guys that I was around. Great human being, great coach. You ask anybody that's played for Monty, mm-hmm. he cares about the players.
Right. Yeah.
Genuine care for the players. Just an incredible
team. You could tell after the Chris Paul situation with his family.
Without question. We know what Monty Williams has endured. But I want to take a moment, as somebody who's been a strong advocate for African-American coaches throughout my mm-hmm. career, I want to take a moment to give props to somebody who's not African-American. That would happen to be Taylor Jenkins. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man has done a phenomenal job at Memphis. He deserved consideration. There is no shade thrown on him, and a great, great job he has done whatsoever. But when you talk about what Monty Williams has done and the model of consistency this franchise has been since he arrived, it has continued to climb and climb and climb. And nobody, as far as I'm concerned, deserved Coach of the Year's honors more than him. He got my vote, and he well deserved.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Let's talk Lakers. The coaching job remains open. Our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that LA has interviewed former Warriors coach and ESPN analyst Mark Jackson, along with former Blazers coach Terry Stotts. JJ, who do the Lakers need to hire to vault themselves back into contention?
That's a good joke. It's a good question. If you're joking around, contention?
Yeah, contention.
Lakers are not contending next season. That's not going to happen. And we broke down all the different trade scenarios last week. They're not going to be a contender. They're pretty much stuck next year.
Even with the big three.
So I think they should figure out a way to hire Steph Curry as a player coach, maybe Paul George. Just fill out a coaching staff with current players. That's the only way they're going to get back to contention. There's no way this core group, those three guys, with their lack of draft picks, with no real money in free agency, they're not in contention next year. It doesn't matter who the coach is.
Let me say this, and I'm going to be very serious when I'm saying this, okay? We've talked about the Lakers a lot. People have lamented mom and pop shop operation, all of this other stuff. I'm done with all of that. I got love for Jeannie Buss. She can trust whoever she wants to trust, whether that's Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis, or whatever the case may be, so be it. Rob Pelinka, there's a few agents that have gotten jobs as a GM and are in position to make those basketball decisions. It's on him now, okay? What I would tell you that the Lakers need, they need an offensive-minded as opposed to a defensive-minded coach, because Frank Vogel was more defense than offense. They need an offensive-minded coach. But more importantly than that, they need a strong-willed coach that sits up there and is capable of telling the organization, you run the organization, I coach. You cannot have a situation where the coach feels disempowered, where he has to play certain dudes because he's going to hear from management. He has to make sure dudes get their minutes. He's going to hear from management, or he's reticent about, you know, benching a dude when he knows that dude doesn't deserve to be playing, et cetera, et cetera. You have to have the kind of coach that's capable of getting in the face of players and saying, look, you ain't getting it done. I will remind you, the story is old. Ty Lue is in the finals coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron James is balling. And who does Ty Lue call out, according to reports, at halftime in the locker room? LeBron James. LeBron James having a pretty damn good half. If you look at the numbers, he said, you ain't doing enough. We need more. If you don't do it, we ain't going to win the championship. You got to have somebody that's capable of doing that. You got to have somebody that's like a Pat Riley that's able to look at a Charles Smith in the 90s when Charles Smith walks into the locker room in his clothes, with his clothes on, according to the book, Blood in the Garden, and Pat Riley asks him, if we needed you for 5 minutes, could you, you know, with this, with everything on the line, could you give it to us? Charles says, sure. He said, then what the F are you doing with your clothes on instead of your uniform? You got to have a coach that can have that kind of attitude and can disseminate that kind of message to the players. We got to stop.
And where's it going to get them?
Listen, yep. Me personally, I think Mark Jackson could be that guy.
No. I'm saying, where is it going to get them? So say they get the great coach that you want, because JJ says it doesn't matter.
To me, if Anthony Davis is healthy, alone, and that's a big ask, but if Anthony Davis is healthy with the LeBron James that we saw this past season, I think you get to the playoffs. And then once you're in the playoffs with a LeBron James, anything can happen. Am I thinking they're going to win the championship? Hell no.
You said that for 6 months. And if there's any lesson to learn from this season, it's that No, but it's that top-heavy rosters just don't work in today's NBA.
I agree with
they
that.
They don't work.
Tell me.
The Nets didn't work. The Lakers didn't work.
I agree with that when you're talking championship, not when you're talking about getting to the playoffs. It's a damn shame.
The question was contention.
Well, again,
the question was contention.
Well, to me, I'm thinking about a LeBron James in the playoffs. Anything is possible if an Anthony Davis is healthy. What's the difference between Anthony Davis and LeBron James in my estimation? One dude gets ready. Another dude stays ready.
Yeah.
LeBron James is always ready. He's in shape now. Whereas Anthony Davis may or may not be. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's about having a strong enough coach to hold dudes accountable so you can maximize what's around them. And the drama is minimized because you're not allowed to run amok and just think the way you want to think, feel what you want to feel, and do what you want to do. You got clear delineation. You got management doing their job, and then once the coach has the team, this is my team, move the hell out the way and let me do what I do. They have to have that structure.
Last word.
I'm not disagreeing that they need structure, but I don't think them running amok, as you said, had anything with them doing being a bad basketball team last year.
It was
a bad roster.
I disagree with
Stephen A.
I'm not saying
Stephen
it wasn't
a
bad roster.
Stephen
I agree
a,
with that.
Outside of those three. See, Talen Horton, Talen Horton Tucker was really bad this year. Okay. Malik Monk was the only young player that played well. Their entire roster outside of Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James, who admittedly are a bad fit together, was a bunch of guys that haven't been good since 2016.
Okay.
Okay? So it's not about running amok. It's not about having a defensive coach or an offensive coach. They had a top five defense with Frank Vogel. They won a championship.
Forgive me for taking an extra minute. Let me remind
you. It's a bad roster.
Let me remind you of
Nowhere to go.
Let me remind you of who you're talking to. You are talking to a guy that covered Allen Iverson. And they had a bunch of parts around him.
It's a different NBA.
Let me finish. I understand that. But listen to where I'm going. My point is, I'm spoiled by that reality in this one respect. You had people around him that did their jobs and were mindful of what they couldn't do because Larry Brown wouldn't allow anything else. You knew what the hell your job was. And you did your job. What LeBron James was surrounded by last year wasn't an absence of talent. It was a whole bunch of people that weren't doing their damn jobs. And for a variety of reasons.
And
you got to take that into consideration. And if you have that, you never know what you can do because we've seen LeBron James do more with less. We've seen it. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not thinking they're going to win a championship, but they ain't supposed to be at home watching the playoffs. Hell no. Even with that roster, they were not supposed to be home watching a player 16 games under 500. Come on, JJ. That's not about the talent. That's about something more. And that's why Terry Stotts, with all due respect, cannot be the man for that job. Terry Stotts is a good man. He knows basketball, but he ain't got the personality to do the kind of things that I suggest. He does. He cannot be the Lakers' next head coach. Not him. He could go somewhere else, not Los Angeles Lakers.
Speaking of the Lakers, can I transition, fellas? So Shaq made some news on his podcast, The Big Podcast with Shaq, going at three-time Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. Here's what he said. Take a listen.
What's going on is what I told y'all 3 years ago. Donovan ain't that good, and the Utah Jazz ain't that good. Let's just say it. You want to be good or you want to be great? Whichever one you want, let me know. But, you know, Rudy's a great player, fine defensive player, but he offers nothing on the offensive end. Like, he has no post moves, you know. Like
I think Rudy Gobert can hold you to, like, 12 points.
Yeah, in the first 3 minutes.
That was Shaq's thoughts on Rudy Gobert. Gobert responded with, I would lock his behind up. JJ, would Rudy Gobert hold up against Shaq?
I actually don't think that Rudy Gobert believes that tweet that he put out. There's no way that he believes that tweet. Look, Shaq, for about 9 years, his first 9 years of his career, he played with a legal defense, so no 2.9, and he played with no zone. What that allowed him to do was he's either getting doubled or he's playing in isolation with no help. And so, you know, you saw this over and over again in his career. When you played him one-on-one, there was no answer for him. And Rudy Gobert is a great player. He's a fantastic player. But he would have zero chance against Shaq. Zero chance. You know this.
If Rudy Gobert was guarding Shaquille O'Neal one-on-one, they would have to go state to state and build state penitentiaries large enough to hold somebody like Shaq, because Shaq would be arrested for what he'd do to Rudy Gobert. It would be no match. He would destroy Rudy Gobert, and Rudy Gobert knows this. Shaq went like 10 straight years, averaging a minimum of 26 and 10, okay? Shaq is the most dominant force of the modern era. More dominant than Giannis is, more dominant than anybody other than maybe Wilt Chamberlain, and that's a maybe in some people's eyes, not mine. Wilt is Wilt. Shaq was that dominant. He was a force. He was agile. He was big. You talk about 7 feet, 7'1", 320 pounds minimum. He would have tossed Rudy Gobert around like a rag doll. First of all, Rudy Gobert wouldn't have been in the game long enough to go against him because he would have fouled out. Would have fouled out in about 5 minutes. He would have had no match. And I'm telling you right now, you could literally have law enforcement officials come and arrest Shaquille O'Neal for what Shaquille O'Neal would do to Rudy Gobert on a basketball court if Rudy Gobert was gone. He would destroy him. It's not even a it's not even in the same stratosphere. Rudy Gobert needs to stop it. You know who Rudy Gobert is? He's a modern slight upgrade from Dikembe Mutombo. And we saw what Shaq did to him. I was there, and I love my brother Dikembe Mutombo. But we saw what Shaq did to that brother in the finals in 2001. I was there courtside. I covered the 70s. I'm telling you what I know. When I sat up there and I had people petitioning the Philadelphia Inquirer to get me fired because I said that the Lakers are winning this in five. The 76ers have no chance. I said, AI, I'll get you one. And they said, but why not? Why not? I said, Shaq, Shaq, and more Shaq. I didn't even bring up Kobe. And I told Dikembe Mutombo, don't even utter words about what you do to Shaq. I love you too much to tell the public the kind of ignorance that came out of Dikembe Mutombo's mouth, okay, in terms of what he could do against Shaq.
All right.
You couldn't do anything.
You got to go to break. By the way, did you see TNT postgame? Did you see Charles Barkley and Tyler Hero's outfit? Did you see that?
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Can we get a graphic of that?
I asked. They said they couldn't pull it up. You got to look on YouTube. Okay.
That
was funny.
Well, Shaq, I mean, you know, Barkley trying to do the walk. You know, I love.
Call me Carlos. I was falling.
You know, these are my brothers. I really need Barkley to just lose a few pounds.
Oh, my God.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We have a quick take. Grambling State hired Chelsea Lucas as their new volleyball coach. Then in April, Lucas decided to cancel all the scholarships for the team and cut all the walk-ons. Grambling announced last week it had hired a law firm to investigate the matter, and the former players started a petition drive to have their scholarships reinstated. As a reference, NCAA regulations say student-athletes are granted athletic scholarships. A scholarship is not guaranteed and not binding. Stephen A., your thoughts?
I'm disgusted. And we got to get back to some basketball talk and all of this stuff. But as a graduate of an HBCU, recognizing what Grambling once represented, I'm going to ask for national attention to be brought to what the hell is going on down at Grambling. So we have a situation where Hugh Jackson becomes the head coach and he hires former Baylor coach Art Briles with his checkered past. It was a mistake, but it happens. I wish Hugh Jackson nothing but the best. But that call at that particular moment in time, we already discussed how egregious I thought that decision was, especially for a coach at an HBCU to make. Okay, considering the paucity of African-American coaches, the opportunities that they're not getting. Hugh Jackson was one of the people at front and center lamenting that. And still, that's who you hire. That was a problem for me. But that's neither here nor there. With this situation with Grambling, who the hell is this coach Chelsea Lucas? And who the hell, and I'm asking that question almost rhetorically, because here's the real question. Who the hell do you think you are that you get to hide? You and that damn athletic director. Somebody needs to look into this. I don't want to hear about some law firm being hired by Grambling to look into a Grambling issue. I think there needs to be an outside law firm to investigate what the hell is happening at Grambling Athletics, period. A new coach comes in and completely eradicates every scholarship on the roster? These are kids we're talking about here.
Heartbreaking for those
girls. Can't. Well, how they gonna pay their tuition?
Mm-hmm.
How they gonna pay for school? How they gonna finish school?
Yeah.
I thought this was an institution of higher learning. I thought we cared about these kids, making sure these kids get an education so they could contribute to our society. I thought we cared about that. I thought we cared about their upbringing. I thought we cared about their well-being. You got parents and students literally scammering, like, how are we going to pay
and
for our tuition?
And it's June.
And the athletic,
school starts in a couple months.
And
you're
the athletic director, no comment, no comment, nothing. And this woman, Chelsea Lucas, you just going to walk up in there and just strip kids of a scholarship, nowhere to go, scrambling to land somewhere else so they could get their tuition paid. Ladies and gentlemen, parents out there, especially African Americans, because we talk about HBCU here, we need to strongly look into what the hell is going on at Grambling State University. We got to pay attention because the kind of stuff that's happening here right now is incredibly alarming. I don't know all the facts. I don't know. We just know the story. We see what's happened.
Yeah.
We don't know why, but we haven't heard anything from Chelsea Lucas. We haven't heard anything from the athletic director other than he stands by his coach. You stand by walking in and watching a coach walk in, and before she had a chance to have bad breath, she gonna sit up there and cancel the entire roster of scholarships? This is, I understand they have the right to do it. It's nothing illegal. They're not breaking laws, NCAA rules, but there's something that reeks of being amoral to me. There's something that's morally wrong with this, and we need to look at this. I advise every parent.
I'm sure there will be a response.
Every parent that has your child thinking about going to Grambling State for athletics, we need to investigate what the hell is going on with that athletic director. And we need to investigate what the hell is going on with that athletic program. I'm saying it on national TV.
Yeah.
These girls, these young ladies, how they going to pay for their tuition? How they going to graduate? How they going to pay for their tuition? How they going to continue to go to school? They were living off campus, and then you told them they had to live on campus after letting them get leases. Well, break your lease. Well, they can't afford it. Well, that's tough. Figure it out. Really? That's what they're saying is going on here. There needs to be an investigation.
Yeah.
There needs to be an investigation. An outside law firm. I don't want somebody hired by Grambling. Because right now, I don't trust them.
Yeah.
I don't trust them.
It's heartbreaking, and it's an overwhelming situation for those student athletes and their families.
Young ladies, volleyball.
I'm
sure
we'll hear a response now, because you did just bring national attention to it right here.
And I will. I'm not going to stop.
Okay.
I'll bring it in again and again and again and again. I'm coming.
Okay. Let me get back to the NBA, though, real quick. I appreciate you, Stephen. Let's take a look at the top scorers still alive out West in the NBA playoffs. All four shooting 44% from the field and at least 34% from three. Luka and Ja Morant are the only two NBA players with 25 points and 5 assists per game this postseason. Tim Legler back here with us. Tim, who's the best remaining player in the Western Conference?
It's Luka for me. And I just look at the way he controls the game. He does it unlike any other player in the league right now. I mean, if you look at even what he's doing in this Phoenix series, you know, if you're Monty Williams, who's the coach of the year and deserving so, and you look at that team, best team in the NBA by far, and you're not taking anything away from Dallas the last two games. So he's having the best of both worlds because he's that good. You're not limiting his paint impact. You're not limiting his ability to get to a step back three whenever he wants. But you're also not limiting these dudes taking and making 23-point shots in a game. And most of those shots, by the way, I'm not going to diminish what Dorian Finney-Smith and Bertans and these guys have done. But these are practice shots that these guys are taking. And there's one reason. Because of the greatness of Luka Doncic and the ability to win any matchup in front of him, including against elite-level defenders like Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder. Whoever you put in front of him, it's not enough against this guy. His ability to control the game physically because of his passing and his size, in addition to the scoring he can give you basically any trip up the floor, for me right now, that's the guy because I think he controls the action more than any other player in the West.
I can appreciate where you're coming from Luka Doncic. Just a mere question from one of the great basketball analysts in America today. That would be Mr. Tim Legler sitting right across from me. I assume you've seen Ja Morant.
A couple times.
I assume. I mean, I assume you saw him averaging 40 before he went down. I mean, I think you saw that.
I think you said 40 again. I like that you said
40.
Yeah, I like that.
I think you've seen it. I think you've seen it now.
But do you think Ja has more help?
Excuse me. I don't give a damn what help he's got. Have you seen this brother play? Oh, yeah. So all I'm saying to you is this. When I look at Luka, Luka's big time, no doubt about it. I still see percentage-wise the struggling from the perimeter. I still see the struggles from the free throw line. You see that from Ja? I haven't seen that from Ja. Have you seen that from Ja? I mean, last time I checked, Memphis is still in this thing. They down 3-1 instead of 2-2, but that might have a lot to do with the fact that Ja missed game 4 last night. All I'm saying to you is, you tell me I got one or the other, why wouldn't I pick Ja right now based on these playoffs? I'm not talking, you know, overall, we look at Luka's game. He's poised, plays at his own pace. He dictates pace. We see how sensational he is as a player, not taking anything away from him. But Ja Morant has been that dude and has been a superstar in every sense of the word and has been utterly unstoppable and spectacular and every bit as, if not more, than Luka Doncic in these playoffs. Would you deny that?
No, look, he's been spectacular in these playoffs.
Okay.
But for me, there's only three guys in the NBA that can beat you solely as a passer. Possession after possession after possession. I don't think Ja Morant can. Just with his passing.
Okay.
That's my point.
What if he don't need to pass? What if he do it himself?
Well, that's fine. But at times, look, you're going to see certain defenses, and you're going to make teams pay. And I think the other two guys are LeBron and Jokic. Those three players, and Luka's in that level and in that category. By the way, this is one of those typical arguments where you credit one dude, and by proxy, you're criticizing the other guy.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm doing.
No.
I know.
That's not what I'm doing. But that's the world we live in. That's kind of how it is.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, do you like ribeye?
Yeah.
Or do you like sushi? I like both of them.
Yeah.
Okay? But you're asking me.
Right now you want sushi.
I'm just saying Luka's controlling these games. And look, there'll be an adjustment. Phoenix will have an adjustment.
Molly would appreciate this. Yeah. I would strongly advise the tempura shrimp.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
You can never talk enough Lakers on First Take. Jeannie Buss saying this to the LA Times. I'm growing impatient because we have the fourth highest payroll in the league. When you spend that kind of money, you expect to go deep into the playoffs. I am not happy. I'm not satisfied.
Well, first of all, I want to applaud Jeannie Buss for saying that, because I think one of the things that has plagued the Los Angeles Lakers, particularly over the last year or two, is that you hear conspicuous silence emanating from that franchise. You got to speak up with some of the decisions that have been made. You got to tell why those decisions have been made. You got to tell what you feel, what your expectations were, etc. So you don't have players standing before the press saying they arrived in Los Angeles with no expectations whatsoever. You can't have that, okay? So I applaud her for speaking up. But the one thing I wanted to come to her defense about is that there are people who are getting it confused because LeBron trade rumors and all this other stuff. The likelihood is LeBron ain't going any damn place. The flip side to all of this is that I'm the one that suggested they should consider it. It wasn't the Lakers. Lakers ain't been out there trying to trade LeBron James. You know, nobody's been out there for the Los Angeles Lakers trying to trade LeBron James. LeBron James got a year remaining on his deal. They want to re-up him. They're probably going to offer him a 2-year extension. To me personally, if you really, really want to help the Los Angeles Lakers franchise and yourself, LeBron is rich enough, famous enough, successful enough, powerful enough. He can sign 1-year deals at a time to give them cap space. But let's be clear. The Los Angeles Lakers aren't the ones that talked about considering trading LeBron James. I've been the one on the record saying it's something they should consider because he's the only viable asset they have.
When LeBron signed with the Lakers back in 2018, they had a bunch of young assets on their team. They had draft picks going forward. They put all of those chips on the table to get Anthony Davis, and guess what? They won a championship. This whole LeBron James experience for the Lakers, to me, has been a win. If you're going to be willing to give up all your assets, if you're going to be willing to trade away your young players for Russell Westbrook, you got a championship out of it, it's worth it.
Correction. Wasn't all the assets, remember, for Russell Westbrook, Contavious Caldwell-Pope.
We'll leave it there.